sense.
Well, Easter is upon us. Means that families have gathered together. We get a little more dressed up than usual. I'm wearing a tie. Usually I tell people there's only two reasons I wear a tie, to marry or bury, and that's it. But it's Easter. It's Easter, and we do things a little differently on Easter. Chances are a lot of you will be gathering with family and friends and going out for brunch or lunch after the service. Then there's the Easter baskets and the Easter egg hunts, and those are all good things. All good things. I mean, I'm going to be going out with my family after the service to eat, and my wife still sends Easter baskets to our daughters, and they're in college. It is what it is, but I think us gathering in this place on this day, we recognize that Easter is a little bit more than brunches and Easter baskets. We gather on this day because we choose to intentionally carve out space to remember what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. That while Jesus was crucified, he did not stay crucified. He rose from the dead on the third day. And we gather on this day to recognize and celebrate the fact that we have life because he's alive. Unfortunately, too often, as a result of our traditions, whether cultural or church traditions, too often we lose sight of or simply forget the intensity of the drama that unfolded at the cross and at the empty tomb. Too often, maybe we're just used to Easter, we end up losing sight of the intensity at the crucifixion and the resurrection. Handful of years ago, there was a movie, a Mel Gibson movie that came out that for me helped me recapture the drama that unfolded at Easter. And if you think I'm referring to The Passion of the Christ, you'd be wrong. Fine movie, but that's not the movie that, for whatever reason, just captured my attention and helped me remember what happened at the cross and at the resurrection. No, the Mel Gibson movie that caught my attention was not The Passion of the Christ. The Mel Gibson movie that caught my attention was Maverick. There's a scene in the movie Maverick that I go, holy cow, that's Easter. Take a look.
Commodore has four of a kind. Angel has a small straight flush, and I don't have the least idea what Maverick has.
It's up to you, Commodore.
Here, I think I'll just bet my own thing.
The Commodore wages $25,000.
I'll see you at 25. I guess we're about even. I'm going to raise you everything I've got. That's $500,000 to the winner.
That's your cup of the Commodore.
Well, aren't you going to look at your card?
No need.
What are you playing at, Maverick? Look at your card.
Well, I'd look at my card if I were you, son.
Card's been called, Commodore. You show your cards.
I have two small pair. Eights and eights.
Yeah, Commodore.
are you gonna know if you can beat my straight flush?
Ten of spades, the jack of spades, queen of spades, the king of spades, a possible royal flush. Quiet, quiet.
Story. let me set the scene for you. What we have is the final table at the ultimate winner-take-all poker tournament. There are only three players remaining at the final table. In this seat, sitting right here, is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was powerful beyond belief, both militarily and economically. Rome sits in this chair. Over in this chair sits Satan, the prince of darkness, the architect of all that is evil. And in the final chair is Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. All three of the players at the final table have pushed all their chips to the middle. There's only one victor in this game. Only one can win. The first to play is Rome. And when Rome turns over its cards, four of a kind, four eights. The odds of getting four of a kind in five-card draw poker is 1 in 4,165. It is a tremendously powerful hand. And Rome knew it was powerful. One historian would write that the Roman Empire in the first century AD mixed sophistication with brutality and could easily and suddenly lurch from civilization, strength, and power to terror, tyranny, and greed. The Romans believed that they were descendants of Mars, the god of war. The Romans then believed that they were the sons of war, and they were quick to live into that identity. Their brutality was legendary. Consider the fact that they once killed 3,000 worshipers as they worshiped in the temple in Jerusalem, slaughtered them in their church. Uprisings were not met with simple arrests. They were met with genocide. In the case of Jesus, they had a simple cure for this problem of Jesus. They had him arrested, tortured, and they ultimately solved their problem with a hammer and nail and a cross. The Roman Empire came to a close in about 476 AD. But it's very easy for us to see that Rome still exists today. Wherever we see violence and brutality, we see evidence of modern-day Rome. Today in the world, there are roughly 30 million people that are living in slavery. Between World War I and World War II, over 100 million people died. 5 million people have died in the civil wars in Congo. 3 million people have died in Afghanistan, starting with their civil war, followed by the Soviet invasion and continuing on to the struggles today. You look around the world today and you see evidence of modern day Rome as you see the brutality and the violence and the bloodshed. Rome is dead, but our offspring are prospering. You see, Four of a Kind is a very, very powerful hand. The second to play, though, is Satan. Interestingly enough, Satan hasn't even made eye contact with Rome. In fact, it's almost as if Satan is unimpressed with Rome, brutality. Where do you think they got the idea? No, Satan isn't looking at Rome. Satan keeps looking over at God. He's really unsure about that unplayed card in front of God. And while Satan is a little unnerved, Satan's confidence is not completely shaken, and with a sneer, Satan plays his hand a straight flush. The odds of Four of a Kind are one in roughly 4,000. The odds of a straight flush are one in 72,000. Four of a Kind's powerful, but it's not nearly as powerful as a straight flush. Rome isn't nearly as powerful as Satan. Oh, they play brutality. Satan plays things like greed and gluttony and grief. Satan plays despair and destruction. And Satan's favorite card, death. Satan's play is, I will take the Son of God and I will kill him, because nobody can beat my hand. You know, it doesn't take a news outlet to alert us to the reality of evil in our world. From the Garden of Eden all the way up to slayings in an elementary school. Apartheid, slavery, domestic abuse, pornography, shame, grief, hatred, fear. There are times, I don't know if this happens to you, there are times you look around at the world and you think there's no hope. Things are bad and they're just going to get worse. That there's no answer to the straight flush that Satan throws down on the table. But on that Friday, the Friday that we call Good Friday, that Good Friday that stretched out into Easter Sunday morning, there was still one more player that had yet to lay down his cards. God had heard the cries of the people in Egypt, the enslaved people in Egypt, and he set them free. Thousands of years later, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, the people shouted, Hosanna, which means save us, we pray. And God heard those cries. And God responded by playing his cards. The Ten of Spades. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear you a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Jack of Spades, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The Queen of Spades Everyone in Jerusalem, celebrate and shout. Your king has won a victory, and he is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey. He comes on the colt of a donkey. I, the Lord, will take away war chariots and horses from Israel and Jerusalem. Bows that were made for battle will be broken. I will bring peace to the nations. And the King of Spades, surely he took up our infirmities. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. One more card to be played. Satan and Rome had done their best, or their worst. Cards of brutality and violence and evil and shame. Both thought they had won the day, but they didn't know about one last card. They did not know the last card in God's hand was the Ace of Spades. God played Jesus. It says, you might kill him, but he will not stay dead. He will come back from the dead, thus defeating all that you have leveled against my people. So God played the Ace of Spades. It's interesting. When Rome would come into a conquered area, they would come in a parade, and in the parade, there would be people that they had conquered that were now their slaves. They would have a parade of their new slaves. But when Jesus came, he came to set the slaves free. Satan would play cards like death. Jesus came to bring life. Jesus came to play against the shame that Satan would play. He said, I come to forgive you. Assure that nothing would ever need to come between you and the great love my Father has for you. The Ace of Spades was played by God for you and for me. He gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. The question becomes, why? Why would God go to such great lengths? Why would God willingly give up his child to suffer and die? Why? In 2006, the movie Blood Diamond came out. If you've seen the movie Blood Diamond, you probably already know what clip I'm about to show you. If you haven't seen the movie Blood Diamond, it's a quick synopsis. Solomon Vondi, the African man you will see in the clip, has been in constant pursuit of his son named Dia. Dia was kidnapped by the RUF guerrillas. Solomon himself had been enslaved by the RUF and forced to work in their diamond fields. While he was working in the diamond fields, he found a large, rare diamond worth millions of dollars. And he decided to bury the diamond, hoping to someday get back to it so he could buy his son's freedom. Meanwhile, Dia's kidnappers, the violent militia known as the RUF, have brainwashed Dia and turned him into a killer. They've turned him into a child soldier. They've even given him a new name. He is no longer called Dia. His new name is See No More. And has lied to about his family. His captors have conditioned him to be a ruthless killer. The RUF has made him commit terrible atrocities to the point where he cannot even remember his former identity or his family. After Solomon's escape from slavery, he chases his son literally across the continent of Africa, risking his life time and time again to save his son. Take a look at what happens when a father is face to face with a son who hardly remembers the life they once shared together.
What are you doing?
Dia!
Nyangbe, what are you doing? Bella, Dia, Vandi,
of the Proud Mende tribe. You are a good boy who loves soccer and school. Your mother loves you so much. She waits by the fire making plantains and red palm oil stew with your sister yonder. And the new baby. The cows wait for you. And Babu. The wild dog who wants no one but you. I know they made you do bad things. But you're not a bad boy. I am your father, who loves you. And you will come home with me and be my son again.
Dia, what are you doing? Dia, look at me. Look at me. What are you doing? You are Dia Vandi of the Pramunde tribe. You are a good boy. You love soccer and school. Your mother loves you so much. And the new baby. She waits by the fire making plantains and red palm oil stew. The cows wait for you. And Bakwu, the wild dog that minds no one but you. I know that they have made you do bad things, but you are not a bad boy. I am your father who loves you very much, and you will come home with me and be my child again. Why did God play the Ace of Spades? Why did God give us his son, Jesus Christ? Because he loves you very, very much. And on Easter morning, we celebrate all that God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And on Easter Sunday morning, God stands in this room and looks each and every one of us in the eye and says, Dia, what are you doing? Rachel, Michael, Jennifer, John, Megan, Stephen, look at me. Look at me. What are you doing? I created you in my own image. You're a good boy. You're a good girl. You love soccer and school and gardening and hiking and music and laughter. I know this world has been a harsh place for you, and you have been hurt in so many ways. You have done bad things, but you are not a bad boy. I am your father who loves you, and you will come home with me and be my child again. Why did God play the Ace of Spades? Why did God give us his son, Jesus Christ, to assure that nothing would ever need to permanently come between us and his great love for us? Not brutality. Not sin, nothing would need to permanently come between us and his great love for us. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Romans, for I am convinced that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Not your sin, not your shame, not your grief, not the brutality around you, not the things that have been done to you, and not the things that you've done to yourself. Nothing will need to permanently separate us from the love of God made evident in his son, Jesus Christ. In the words of Brennan Manning, do you believe that God loves you beyond worthiness and unworthiness, beyond fidelity and infidelity, that he loves you in the morning sun and in the evening rain, that he loves you even when your intellect denies it, your emotions refuse it, your whole being rejects it? Do you believe that the God of Jesus loves you without condition or reservation and loves you in this moment as you are and not how you should be? As I consider the Ace of Spades, as I consider the gift that God has given me and his son, Jesus Christ, the life he lived, the death he died, and his resurrection, I'm able to answer the question of Brennan Manning, do you believe? And I am able to say, I do. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. Far from it. It doesn't mean that I sometimes have doubts. I do sometimes. But it does not change the fact that I believe that he loves me. When we gather on Easter morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we come to remember what he's done and why he's done it. In the words of Michael Card, he was born to die so that I could be born to new life. He suffered temptation so I can experience victory. He was betrayed so I might know his faithfulness. He was arrested and bound so I could be rescued from bondage. He stood trial alone so that I might have an advocate. He endured mockery so I could know dignity and joy. He was condemned so the truth could set me free. He was crowned with thorns so I might crown him with praise. He was nailed to the cross so I might escape judgment. He was stretched out between thieves so I could know the reach of his love. He was God's lamb slain so I could claim his sacrifice as my own. He was forsaken so I would never be rejected. He chose the shame of weakness so I could know the hope of glory. He shed his blood so I could be white as snow. His heart was pierced so mine could be made whole. He died and was buried so that the grave could not hold me. And he rose again so I might experience eternal life. The Ace of Spades played for you by a father that loves you very, very much. Would you pray with me, please?